And we welcome you back here from Kessler Field at Mamba Stadium. Matt Harmon along the way here at the half. Eddie Music takes care of halftime, but busy with some homecoming festivities today. So I'll handle the chores for you this afternoon. We'll take a quick look first at stats from this game. And the most alarming one to me is on the scoreboard, where Monmouth, I thought, dominated the field of play, but yet only lead 17-16. We'll talk about the special teams unit in just a second. On the first down scene, Monmouth outdoing Cornell 12-7. Total offensive yards, 220 for MU, 174 through the air, 46 on the ground. Brandon Hill, 13 of 23 for 174 yards, two touchdowns, and has been sacked once. Julian Hayes, 10 carries for 55 yards. KB Asante, 11 carries for 38 yards. Both of those guys looking to get back on track after last week's performance saw them have a four-game streak of running both over 100 yards on the day was eclipsed. Lamar Davenport leading the way. He's got two catches for 70 yards, two for Mike McLafferty for 17, two for Neil Sterling for 13, and two for Thaddeus Richards for 8 yards. On the Cornell side of things, Jeff Matthews, 7 of 13 for 86 yards and a touchdown. Grant Gallantly, the team's leading ground gainer, two carries for 14 yards. Matthews, three carries for 11, and Luke Hagee right now has three carries for 4 yards on the day. Gladly, the team's leading receiver. He's three catches for 44 yards and a touchdown. Dustin Dillard, also pretty good day. Two first catches so far and one apiece for Hagee and also Ben Rogers. Again, the score right now with the half is Monmouth 17 and Cornell 16. Let's talk about the scoring summary. MU on the board after they're able to cash in on a fumble recovery. Eric Spillane, 25-yard field goal, an 8-play, 72-yard drive that took up 2:57 of the clock. 3-0, MU leads it. Thaddeus Richards caught a touchdown pass from Brandon Hill late in the first quarter from 7 yards out. 12 plays, 80-yard drive that took up 5 minutes and 44 seconds on the clock. Monmouth at that point looking great, 10-0 after one quarter of play. Got a little bit better for the Hawks as well. Neil Sterling with an 11-yard reception from Brandon Hill. That capped off a 10-play, 71-yard drive that took up 4 minutes and 58 seconds on the clock. And MU with a big lead, 17-0. And then the special teams problems started a little bit more. Monmouth had already had a punt block. They had a high snap go over the head of the punter, Eric Spillane, who had to kick the ball out of the back part of the end zone. 2 points on the board. The ensuing drive, a punt after a good return from Ben Rogers. Jeff Matthews caps off a 4-play, 43-yard drive that took up a minute 46 of the clock. 17-9 the score at that point. And then quickly thereafter, Monmouth, another punt block. Grant Gallantly catching a 15-yard touchdown pass from Jeff Matthews. That drive, 1 play, 15 yards, 9 seconds, and the score 17-16. We'll take a quick 60-second timeout. When we come back, I'll be joined by Josh Newman of the Asbury Park Press. We'll talk about this game, the Monmouth football program as a whole. We'll look ahead a little bit to the basketball season, which tips off pretty soon as well. Monmouth 17, Cornell 16. We're back in 60 seconds with more Hawks football on the Shore Sports Network. And we welcome you back here from Kessler Field at Monmouth Stadium, about midway through halftime, with the Hawks leading Cornell by a score of 17-16. It is homecoming day here in West Long Branch. And as I welcome in Josh Newman, the outstanding beat reporter of Monmouth from the Asbury Park Press. Josh, this homecoming had kind of a different feel to it. Monmouth has been known for their struggles on this day. But at 17-0, it looked like MU was kind of sitting pretty, you know, in the catbird seat, so they say. And then the special teams units played a big factor in this game, switching around.
It was crazy. I mean, as you said, they were up 17-0. You know, they were probably one drive away from kind of ending the game early. You know, a punt snap went over Eric Spillane's head. That was a safety. Another bad snap led to a touchdown. It turned on a whim, and now we have a game.
I know you have been certainly familiar here with the football program, being a Shore guy for a long time. I've had this conversation so many times with Tony Graham and Steve Edelson, but on a day that the facility here at Monmouth wants to now be known as Kessler Field at Monmouth Stadium, talk a little bit about the development of the enhancement, we hope, of the facility here. Kind of a much-needed step for Monmouth to take that next step as a football program at the FCS level.
And you're right. You know, it's an exciting time. I mean, they're moving to the Big South starting next year. It's a higher caliber of football, and with that higher caliber of football, they want higher caliber facilities. You know, they're getting the upgrade to the press box after this season for next season. They're trying to expand the seating some, and they're also moving up in scholarships. They're going from 40 this year, they're going to 50 next year. They hope to be up to the maximum of 63 in a few years. So, you know, it's a very exciting time for the football program here.
You know, just as maybe a different kind of opinion, when you think about the direction that Monmouth was in for 20 years, now in their third decade of being a football program and taking the steps that you mentioned, as you see it, what would it take for Monmouth to kind of make that next leap into not just being an FCS team in the Big South, but being a team at the FCS level that competes for a Big South championship, that's able to attract some better teams to maybe come here to Kessler Field, where on any given Saturday, and I'll lead you in, whether afternoon or nighttime football, that you could get 6, 7, 8, maybe 10,000 as a regular type drawing crowd?
I mean, I think that all starts with having an administration that sees that same vision as the football program sees. And again, you know, we talked about a facilities upgrade, the upgrade in scholarships and seating and the stadium and all that. And that all starts with the administration. And once you have that on your side, it's just going to take time. And, you know, the people here, the administration, the faculty, everybody seems very committed to this cause to help the football program to get to where they want to be. It's going to take a few years, but, you know, they seem to be on the road towards where they want to go.
You think about the team this year, you know, it's kind of a mix of guys in a way. You know, I think in a way the fact that Monmouth had put together that nice three-game winning streak, and if they're able to win here, be 4-4 through the first 8 games of the year, take a bye week and then look ahead to November where they're playing all teams that they're pretty familiar with. If you had an expectation of this team going into the season at this point of the season and now maybe moving forward, where do you see this team kind of finishing up, and would that live up to maybe what people had thought this team could be going into the year?
No, I felt like when they lost their first 3 games at Montana State, at Liberty, and against Lehigh, okay, those are 3, you know, fully funded, high-caliber FCS programs. But then you looked at the rest of the schedule, and you looked at Monmouth's personnel, and me personally, I didn't feel like that. I didn't feel that there was any reason that they couldn't go 9-3 and win out. You know, they had the hiccup last week against St. Francis. They're going to try to get back to 500 today against Cornell, and you know they'll go on the bye. And then again, if they win today, there's no reason they can't go 8-4. As you said, it's all teams that they're familiar with. Monmouth is battle tested, having played that tough early schedule. You know, if they went 8-4 or even 7-5 after the 0-3 start, I mean that's a pretty good accomplishment after a tough start.
Yeah, it would be a good season. Josh Newman, giving us a couple of minutes here. You can read Josh's stuff on the Hawks Nest blog at 8pp.com. And, of course, pick up the paper on any given day. Does a great job of covering here the football team. And with a focus, as we change gears a little bit, with the Hawks leading here 17-16 to the upcoming basketball season, which has always been, no disrespect, we're here on the radio doing football. It's always been thought of as a basketball-type school, and now making really a, talk about the football program making a jump, it's been the basketball team that has led this kind of movement into the MAC. Let's not kid ourselves, that's the sport that the MAC really prides itself on being so good and competitive. Opening night, Friday, November 8th, against Hofstra out on Long Island. I know you've spent a lot of time looking at the team so far through a lot of practices. Tell us what you see.
Well, it's a very young team, first of all. King Rice has 8 freshmen in there, and it's been a learning process, you know, the first 3.5 weeks of practice, but, you know, they're coming along, and, you know, the pace of practice has now picked up as we move inside. I think it's 17 days until the opener, and, you know, there's cautious optimism. You know, again, they're young, and, you know, they're going to go to Hofstra. They play Penn here 4 days later. And I feel like there's a growing sentiment that there's no reason that they can't go out to Long Island, beat Hofstra, and then there's no reason that they can't come back home and beat a Penn team that was towards the bottom, you know, the bottom third of the Ivy League. So, you know, there's a lot of optimism, and I think November 8th against, you know, a young, inexperienced Hofstra team, that's going to be really telling for Monmouth.
When you think about for this Monmouth men's basketball team, at least, the jump into, okay, well, we could talk about the non-conference schedule, but you and I both know at the mid-major level, it's how you do within your conference that's going to really talk about whether your season was successful or not. This is a bit of, and no disrespect to the NAC, which has made leaps over the last couple of years of being very competitive. Robert Morris beat Kentucky in that NIT game a year ago, but the MAC has maybe a bit more of a resume from top to bottom in terms of quality and overall play.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. That's not an unfair statement. You know, Monmouth is going from the NEC to the MAC, and the MAC is much deeper waters with much better teams. You know, the MAC has teams that, you know, can challenge for at-large bids in the NCAA tournament. You know, there's not going to be many nights off there. You know, Monmouth was picked last in the MAC, and I think that was, you know, knowing how young they are and off the reputation. But, I mean, when you look at the top of the MAC, you know, Manhattan, Iona, maybe Canisius, maybe Quinnipiac, top four teams, and then after that it's a real crapshoot. So if this Monmouth team can overcome that youth and get off to a good start once conference play starts, I mean, there's no reason that they can't get into, you know, the middle tier of that conference.
And it's not where you want to be, but different from the NEC, everyone in the MAC makes the postseason tournament. I know you're looking forward to it as a Springfield College graduate. That'll be where the tournament takes place this year. How about just real quick on the women's team, which I know you've had an opportunity to kind of peek at as well.
Again, you know, they're kind of young. You know, they've got some players back. She has a nice mix of veteran leadership and also some youth. And just like the men's side on the MAC, the women's side is also pretty rugged, too. You've got Marist, who I think they've won the MAC tournament like 9 years in a row. They've spent time in both top 25 polls. Iona, Quinnipiac, who came with Monmouth from the NEC. Quinnipiac won 30 games last year. So, you know, as the men try and find their way, I think that's going to be a lot of the same problems. Not problems, but it's going to be the same thing for the women going to a new conference against some very good teams and just trying to find their way early.
King Rice and Jenny Palmateer, the now third-year head coaches for Monmouth. You can get an early peek at some of the players and the names. MAC Madness coming up on Friday night, this coming Friday night, in the Multipurpose Activity Center. Josh, I would imagine you'll be at that one covering things for that. I know you also cover some high school football for the Asbury Park Press as well. Thanks so much for giving us a few minutes here. Enjoy the rest of the second half. Hopefully, as you sit next to us in the box, you'll be hear us talking off air about positive Monmouth plays rather than some of the negative stuff that's taking place here in that first half.
Thanks, Matt.
17-16 Monmouth leads. We're back in 60 seconds. We'll come back and do some scores from around the country for you, top 25, and some FCS stuff as well. Back real quick after this. Monmouth up by a point on homecoming Saturday in West Long Branch. You're listening to Hawks Football on the Shore Sports Network.